So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you guys. Welcome to Wrestling Weekly, May 22nd show. Les, you've been gone for about a week.
I've been gone, yes. Well, let me catch up on the important things in my life.
Sure.
Sadly, Melinda Doolittle got voted off Vital, which she should have won the daggone thing. And last night, Leila Ali won the first round in Dancing with the Stars, and Joey and Apollo, I think, was a toss-up in the freestyle. And there you have it, my boy.
And that's Les's week, everybody.
That's the exciting part of it.
We've got, speaking of reality shows, former reality star turned wrestler Johnny Fairplay is going to be on the show with
us tonight.
Turned
wrestling manager.
Manager.
Thank you.
Yes. And, we're going to talk about this with Johnny later, but I was turning on VH1 last night, and there's a show called Where Are They Now?
Uh-huh.
And here's good old Johnny Fairplay at a Ring of Honor show from back in March.
Up in Detroit.
Up in Detroit, yes.
Yes.
So, he got flattened, and we're going to hear a little bit about that, because there's more to the story than that. But, Johnny Fairplay is going to be with us tonight. Also, the pay-per-view was this weekend.
Yes, there was a pay-per-view this week.
And we are going to go over, of course, the pay-per-view prediction game, find out who won. It's going to be a close one, I think. There were some surprises in there, and we'll get into that a little bit later. Let's just delve right into the news, shall we, Les?
Well, delve right into it, Doc.
Lots of releases this week, of course. Stephanie McMahon has been slamming that hammer down on some of these WWE guys. Scotty Too Hotty among the releases.
There's a guy who's been around a long time. He's had a long run, but hasn't been used hardly at all in recent times, so that's not terribly surprising.
I figured, I had read, and I guess it was maybe a couple of years ago, that, no matter what they did with Scotty Too Hotty, he would always have a job. He was sort of like the Val Venus, of his division. But Scotty gone, man.
Scotty gone. Yeah.
And it's a shame. Charismatic guy, man. I liked watching him, especially during the days when he was with, Brian Christopher.
Yeah. I was never a big guy into the Worm, thank you very much.
The Worm was pretty dumb, but I mean...
He was a good, solid hand, and mm-hmm. I'm cool with all that. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sure he'll land on his feet. He's had a long run there, you hope he saved a few bucks. And, I'm sure he'll do something on the independent scene.
Hope so, yeah. Wish him the best. Also, Nikki from the Spirit Squad, Nick Mitchell, was released last week, and Angel Williams from Deep South, and she was recently sent up to OVW. She was supposed to be brought in several times.
I hadn't seen the OVW show. Well, I know Sean Osborne's back up there. I'd heard some good things about her. I actually hadn't seen that much of her. I don't know. I won't say surprising, but, I don't think the indication was there were no plans to release anybody in the Atlanta outfit, and everybody was going to get settled in Tampa or OVW. Well,
right.
She fulfilled that. She went to OVW, got cut. I don't know much about her, and she's young, and obviously got a chance to try out other things.
Also, what was kind of a shocker was that Ariel was released last week from ECW. She was Kevin Thorne's manager.
Yeah, she, well, you know what? And when I say this, I don't mean to sound sexist or anything, but, you know, the girls that aren't wrestlers, the girls that don't have wrestling talent and some looks, too, are pretty much interchangeable,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so, I mean, so she had fangs, you know? but I know that it wasn't, I'm just telling you that, and you're saying, oh, really? I didn't notice.
No, I mean.
Yeah. No, I know what you did notice, Doc. Anyway. So,
Ariel's, she wrestled in the indies, Shelly Martinez, and I've seen a couple in it. She wasn't that bad.
Is that right? No, I've never seen her work.
Yeah,
so,
I'm surprised they didn't have her wrestling or anything like that. It seems to be,
that's the other point. You know, but like I say, you know, the girls, just the girls with the look and work the corner are pretty much, I say, you know, interchangeable. And I don't mean that in an insulting way, but it's just a fact of life. I mean, it really is.
Then they need to strive to get into the ring.
Well, you know, and I think, you know, that the diva thing is a current phenomena, if you will. And I mean, fans look at those girls that work, and they see them come and go, you know, and somebody pops up and she's an interviewer for 2 weeks, and then she's gone, or somebody becomes somebody's personal trainer for 15 minutes, and they're gone. So, I mean, to the current generation, or to the younger wrestling fans, they are pretty much interchangeable.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I didn't know that SmackDown had a girl named, I can't remember her name. She came out last night on Raw for that video.
Who? Who, what?
I don't know, some blonde girl from SmackDown. They'll tell me in the chat room, but I cannot remember her name.
Jillian Hall?
No.
No?
Wasn't Jillian, but better, oh man, it was, they'll tell me in the chat room. I can't remember her name.
Okay.
But I never heard of her until last night.
Oh, yeah.
I was
she's
a star.
Obviously, the more you see somebody, the more you know, there's a recognition factor. And that's pretty much, well, you know, when Jimmy Yang had the girl in his corner, and her name right this moment escapes me, I couldn't remember on the show, remember? And I said something to Jimmy. I said, I can't remember, you know, the girl to come to the ring's name, and then she was released the next week, and I hope, God, I didn't mean to do that. No, I'm making a stupid joke, but
it's rolling around now, but it's Maryse, who was on Raw last night. She was a SmackDown diva.
Maryse?
And I'd never heard of her before.
Did she talk with a French accent?
No.
Oh, okay. Maryse. I don't know either. Like I say, the girl that won the diva thing this last one, all she does is dance on ECW, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, whatever. And they're going to do another one.
Yeah. Get ready, guys.
Which is tear it down. Well, you know what? Listen, reality stuff buys. I mean, you know, is people buy it and people enjoy it, obviously. But it's not even that. It's just dumb.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they don't really compete in any way, shape, or form except do stupid stuff like they ate pie or cake last year. And,
right.
And they pinched Kamala on the belly. And, you know, and I'm thinking, come on. You know, I'm sorry. It's pretty sophomoric. And I maybe it appeals to the 11-year-old males who are just coming. I don't know.
Who knows? They got money too. I guess they can get it from their parents. But
yeah. But, I mean, you know, it's just I don't know. But they are. They're pretty much which we're talking about, Ariel. But I mean, you know, I didn't know she was. I've never seen her work, so I couldn't even make a comment on that. But no.
Yeah.
I agree. They have so few that can. You think the ones that can, they should. So.
Yeah. Also. I got to go back because VNS is reminding me that Nick Mitchell was Mitch from the Spirit Spot, not Nikki.
Okay.
So I had to make that clear. Also released this week, Henry Godwin.
Well, you know, Henry was just, he never got past the Deep South.
No.
You know.
I guess he had a couple dark matches at the tapings, and he did some house shows, okay. But never made it to TV.
The guy who played the part of, Fake Kane or something?
Freaking Deacon.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's taken the place of Godwin with Terry Gordy's son, Ray Gordy.
Ray Gordy, yeah.
Or Ray, whatever they call him. And, you know, you talk about profiling and typecasting. I mean, I'm amazed that in this day and age they pop the by God, hillbillies on you.
Yeah.
Planes and come to the big city to wrestle.
Yeah, and their pick 'em up truck.
Oh, come on. Please.
That's kind of what I was thinking. I was like, wow,
well,
I thought they got past this.
A lot of those gimmicks have, short shelf lives.
Mm-hmm.
They're destined to be preliminary show matches.
And look at the Highlanders, you know. That's an example. A couple good wrestlers, you know.
Well, I don't know how good are they. I never have seen it work that much. I mean, if you stop to think about it, they haven't done any. I didn't even see them do a 10-minute match, never mind, you know, anything past that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Are they good? I mean, I'm glad to see Cade Murdoch get a run, if that's what it's going to be. I would take the silly costumes off of Kendrick and London, because they're small guys to begin with, and the big baggy pants even create an illusion of a smaller upper body.
Mm-hmm.
With a company that's concerned with size, you think they'd notice some things like that. I guess not. But anyway, but I just, you know, it's just like Deuce and Domino, and, you know, it's just, come on, what, you know, hey, here's Doc Young and Joe Schmo, you know?
Right.
I mean, why does everybody have to have a gimmick, for God's sake? You know, find out if they can actually walk and chew gum. You know, you see, and I think, again, it comes to where too much priority is put on the silly gimmicks, because a lot of these younger kids have to concentrate on getting a character that they maybe in the first place don't even, you know, aren't even into themselves that much. And never mind, actually try to wrestle too.
You didn't get you weren't an active wrestler during the whole 80s gimmick, where the gimmicks just got totally ridiculous. You know what I mean?
No, I know, like Duke the Dumpster Drosy and all that. I mean, and the hockey, they made. Damn it, what was the guy's name? They turned into the hockey player.
Oh, man, oh.
I know the guy.
The Goon.
Yes, the Goon, but I mean the guy who played the part, Bill Irwin.
Yeah.
Bill Irwin. Bill was better than that. And I saw the goofy shoes he had to wear. I thought, my God, I wouldn't want to wrestle in them stupid-looking things.
Right.
But, I mean, it's just, you know, well, it was like when they hung the big dragon tail on Steamer, for God's sakes. That wasn't necessary.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't the day of the writer either. That was just somebody else's whatever.
Right.
But, all the goofy gimmicks started. Well, you know, Rob Conway was stuck with trying to do a Buff Bagwell type of thing. And then a French sympathizer, which if you realize, it's not like we're at war with the French or anything, right?
That gimmick's like... That gimmick's like 4 or 5 years too late.
Well, I don't even know if it's topical. I mean, if
right.
it were, you know, even if it were timely, I don't know that it's. It's not like, you know, the Germans and the Japanese heels and the Russian heels got over because we were one of those countries,
mm-hmm.
not because we had a political. I mean, that's like putting Donnie the Donkey out there, you know, or Eddie the Elephant, you know, if you're doing Democrat and Republican. I mean. You think that's going to get, hey, Doc Young, the Republican bad guy. All right, well, all the Democrats will buy pay-per-views. You know what I mean? That's just absurd. But then some of these things are that absurd if you really break them down.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, it's just, you know, well, you know, honestly, if you look at Umaga's gimmick, that whole thing is pretty camp.
Yeah.
Passé, you know.
But see, I think that the whole thing with Umaga and stuff proves that good writing can sometimes overcome.
Oh yeah, I agree. I mean that gimmick is just, you know, like I say, it's camp. You know, it's it's like the Ugandan giant. You know, the Kamala thing.
Mm.
Hey, anybody that is that primitive isn't coming to this country. They're being executed in their own. Or jail or something.
Or if they are coming to the country, they're coming in a big cage.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, this guy runs around in a loincloth and the bone in his nose. All right. Cool.
All right.
He's very, very low-key. No. But, you know, anyway, that's just my whole, you know, hook is that why does everybody have to have a gimmick?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Some of the greatest wrestlers, even currently. Well, Helmsley called Triple H. I mean, but that's not a gimmick. That's a name. Hunter Hearst Helmsley,
right.
Shawn Michaels.
It used to be a gimmick, but Chris
Finley, Chris Benoit, Steve Regal.
Right.
Excuse me, but there's no gimmicks there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I really seen as a gimmick, but not such an over the top. Except that at some point, he's going to outgrow those goofy shorts. In terms of his age.
Right. I think the only guy that can get away with over the top gimmick is the Undertaker at this point.
Well, and you know what? That's not so over. It's just more. He's been around so long; it's acceptable.
Right.
And they don't do it the way they don't have him burning anybody at the cross or
right.
Or crucifying anybody. I mean, like I said about the whole thing where the Druids came to carry him off. I thought that was goofy. That whole setup had a big match atmosphere. It was solid. The only things I would have changed would have been to let Undertaker win out of the cage, and then to hell with the Druids.
Right.
No, I mean, it's just, you pulled the people in with the atmosphere of the match and the quality of the work, and then Druids?
Right.
Come on. And you've kind of forgotten. I mean, they do the dong, 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 and he rolls his eyes. And,
mm-hmm.
and for some reason, people who have been running for the 12 years he's been around are still running. Why? I mean, why?
Because he can get up and whoop your butt.
Well, but I mean, it's like, the announcers, the referees, but the point is, he's already been the American Badass
mm-hmm.
with a motorcycle, right?
Right.
So that kind of told you that if he stuck, he'd be bled. Well, he does. I mean, he bleeds anyway, but I mean, the point is, the Druids, again, it's childish comedy. It got the gimmick over. There were times it was even, made some sense, but it didn't make any sense there.
Somebody in the chat room is asking, if, in your opinion, if the Undertaker gimmick was created this year, do you think it would work?
No, not the way it did then.
Mm-hmm.
And in part, it's not so much the gimmick, it's the person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, that makes things where, a quick example, and it wasn't when Dusty first did the American Dream in the mid-70s, a lot of territories found fat guys, bleached their hair, asked them to talk with a lift, if you will, and put a cowboy hat on.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And, but it worked for Dusty, it worked for Virgil Runnels, it doesn't work for anybody else,
right.
That's the deal. So it would be hard to say if it would work, if person doing a character is a good solid in-ring worker, and they give sometimes you give something time, it'll get over regardless. you drive it down the, when I say it this way, I don't mean it offensively, but you just drive it down people's throats till they catch on to it,
mm-hmm.
or it becomes part of their viewing pleasure, if you will,
but anyway,
I don't know if the Undertaker again, a lot would depend on who did it. I, the way it came across back then, no, I don't think it get over. I think for the most part, your writers, your bookers, whoever, whatever, I don't care if they're wrestlers or non-wrestlers, if they have the power to create things, they're just doing too many camp things, too many stipulations, too much run-ins, and at some point it all becomes just, it's like elevator music.
Mm-hmm.
It's there, but just, okay, so it's there all the time.
Right.
So you don't. Sometimes then you stop just paying attention. So you need to get a little more creative. And of course, that may even take booking ahead a little bit. But you can do that and still make changes. But anyway.
Now, my whole philosophy on WWE and their marketing and things like that is, of course, they're trying to reach the widest possible audience.
Well, are they?
What?
Are they? I mean, there's times that I've been curious. I would totally disagree with you. I think with a lot of the off-color sex, the double entries and so forth,
mm-hmm.
I would say you're wrong.
Well, I would.
I mean, there was a point that I know back in the late 90s that some of the people under contract to that company would not allow their children to watch that show.
I was one that would not allow my daughter during.
Well, no, I'm talking about people that work for the company.
Oh, yeah.
They wouldn't let their children watch.
Mm-hmm.
Watch.
Yeah, I think they came away from that a little bit, but
they have come away from it a little bit, but also a lot of the stuff that shocked you 10 years ago or 5 years ago doesn't shock you any longer.
Right.
I remember Trapper Trapper John and what was his? Come on, help me out here, Doc.
Trapper John, and I have no idea where you're going.
You don't know where I'm going with this?
No.
Okay. Well, anyway, I was going to say the first movie that I saw a joint smoked in back in the 60s, or heard the F word.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you realize what a shock that was at the time? For someone that grew up with, when husband and wives didn't sleep in the same bed, they had twin beds.
Right.
In the movies, in the 40s, when I started going to the movies.
Until the Flintstones.
Huh?
Until the Flintstones. That's trivia for you.
Well, okay. Whatever.
They were the first couple. But
you know, but I mean, then so the things that were shocking 5-6 years ago, or say in 1998, aren't shocking any longer.
Right.
You know, they're just, okay, so what? And I think that's where they're missing the boat with the whole diva thing. You know, scantily clad young women with their boobs hanging out was a high spot years ago. Now it's like, and what's your point?
But I wouldn't categorize the WWE as that's all they do because...
Well, no,
I'm not
categorizing that's all they do, but I'm just saying those particular... To me, when you spend time with that...
Mm-hmm.
And I, when it costs you $250,000 a night to run your show, I think I don't care damn how many millions you got. You tend to still, you have stockholders to answer to. But anyway, I think you just too much time is put into that silliness, and that doesn't really matter. I mean, here's the thing: if you have some really kinky fantasy about some diva, Doc, you're not going to buy, that's not going to create you to buy a pay-per-view. You don't have to,
mm-hmm.
because you can see her every week anyway,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Or buy the magazines and so forth, so it's not going to sell a pay-per-view. And say what you like, that's what that television is the basics is to get to sell you on a pay-per-view. Now, like last night, I didn't see the whole show, but then I read the reviews, and I would tend to agree for the most part. What I did see, they didn't set me up for Saturday Night Live main event or anything, you know.
Yeah.
And the whole Vince and Shane and the whole thing is just okay, whatever,
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on.
Right.
Well, I mean, you need to build some stars for the future,
mm-hmm.
you know. And the executive, the people from the front office aren't going to be it. Don't get me wrong. Vince is entertaining, but it's, even the greatest sitcoms in the world have a certain shelf life.
Right.
He and Shane aren't going to be part of that thing forever and ever. So they need, take that time and build some people.
I think that's another part of the philosophy is to run something until the wheels fall off of it. And then
well,
move on.
You know what? And that's, I won't even say that that's current. I'll say that that's, always, I've seen that happen before. You find something that works and you beat it with a stick.
Right.
Until it doesn't move anymore. And yes, they do tend to do that. Well, any other philosophy would be, Dad and I will be here forever. I don't care. The other point is, too, is if you're not here forever, the business itself that you're trying to kill isn't dead and probably never will die. It'll change. People come and go.
Right.
But the point is, I've seen that. I have seen, I think it's wrong to have those two, exchange and even up punches with guys who are professional wrestlers all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It just, again, I don't give a damn if it's a work or a shoot. The point is your show's be selling it and suspending people's disbelief, and it's just not the case there.
Right.
So, no, I don't think it's cool. I don't think it's fun. I think it's a waste of time looking at it from a business standpoint, and that's the way I'm looking at it.
Moving on to some more news, Rob Van Dam. Everybody, had put out reports last week that he's completely done with the company. He's not going to be, on TV anymore until his contract is over, and then he's going to go. But the official preview for ECW came out tonight, and guess who's on the card? Rob Van Dam.
Well, you know what? Here's my thought on that. I've heard this whole story. First of all, if a guy is finishing up with me, part of the deal is a professional is doing jobs on your way out.
Right.
And so if he legitimately isn't, here's the deal. He's going to be recognizable in TNA if he does go there. I mean, and he may sign here at the last minute. I don't know. You know, I'll speculate on that when it happens.
Right.
Again, that's all a lot of personal stuff with him. You know, how much time does he want to spend with his wife and take care of his comic book store and this and that and the other thing. I don't know. You know, so it may not, that may play into it more than the wrestling. But anyway, what I'm getting around to here is I wouldn't keep him. If he's got two more months with me or three more months with me, I'm going to beat him every Tuesday night, brother.
Right.
You know?
I think that they didn't want to do that because they want people to forget. They're not going to, though, but they...
No. Well, I mean, that's business, too. And if the politics, if they play that big important part in your particular roster, in your front office, then that's what you got.
Right.
You know what? And truth be known, if I don't know so much push, no push, lack of push, but I do believe that there wasn't so much politics that you had to play, Rob may stay anyway because obviously the money's better.
Hmm.
You know?
Rob Van Dam also put on his MySpace recently. This is a quote off his MySpace. It says, "I'd like to tell you that Sabu says hello, but he's not really into talking. He's fine, though, so don't be worrying." That's about all he had to say about Sabu getting released last week.
Well, I think that was Sabu's want to be free, and sadly enough, that, you know, he's not getting any younger. That body's not going to hold up forever, and... for the practicality of it and for the future of his health and for feeding his family, getting that paycheck once a week, steady without being sure that the check wasn't going to bounce is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So anyway, from that outlook, I would like to have seen a guy stay and get some retirement money, but,
right.
You know,
back to Rob Van Dam, I just got to put it out there. If anybody thinks that he's going to come on ECW tonight and kick everybody's butt, don't even bother tuning in.
Do what now?
If somebody out there thinks that Rob Van Dam's going to tune in or come into ECW tonight and kick everybody's butt, don't even bother tuning in because it's not going to happen.
Not unless he's re-signed.
And that's true, too.
You know, that's the whole thing. So whatever, you know, I mean, there again, it's sadly enough, it's not about performance. It's about, politics.
Mm.
So, you know,
PW Insider's reporting that, Gregory Helms underwent successful neck fusion surgery in, San Antonio with, Dr. Lloyd Youngblood. He had, the surgery on two broken vertebrae in his neck and, he's expected to be out for a full year.
Well, you know, the neck's a very fragile thing, and if you know, everybody's had neck surgery with the exception of Angle, has been out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Edge, Benoit, Austin.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not unexpected, I don't think.
It's too bad for this guy. I like Helms, and I like his work, and I mean, this guy
works
there
really improved.
So much.
I wasn't a big fan of his work when they first started the three-count thing in WCW. But I, in recent years, as he's matured and worked a more solid style, I've become more into his work, and yeah, he's come a long way.
Definitely get well soon to Gregory Helms, guys. Shawn Michaels, another injury, he's said to have blown out knees right now, and this is what brought up the whole angle at the pay per view this weekend.
Well, you know, the other thing, you can't, right now, somebody of Michael's talents, even if he weren't a great worker, he's a great leader and a builder of a match and knows how to get the most mileage out of a match. And they're going to miss that, regardless of what else, you know, he brings to the table.
Right.
Because there's not a lot of guys there that can lead successfully and, do it productively.
Mm-hmm. PW Insider is reporting that A&E was filming footage over the weekend for the pilot for Mick Foley's new reality series, and the title of the series is Wrestling My Family. Footage was taken of Foley at...
Wrestling what?
Wrestling My Family. That's the name of the show.
Wrestling My Family.
Wrestling My Family.
Okay.
Footage was taken of Foley at the New York Wrestling Connection School in Long Island, which Mikey Whipwreck runs, formerly of ECW. There's also footage filmed at the NYWC event over the weekend in Deer Park on Saturday night when Foley visited the show over there. Right now they're talking about there's no official announcement that this is going to be a series, so it seems like the footage is being filmed right now for a pilot to show A&E guys on whether they want to go further or not.
Okay.
I'd be interested. I'd be interested.
So it's not really a show, it's a pilot.
Yes.
When I say that, I mean, technically, it's not a show until somebody buys it.
That's right. I'd be interested to see this show, though. So, A&E, take a good look, guys. Hope it's good.
Well, you know what? I think a lot of the deal with the reality stuff is overdone. I don't watch a tremendous amount of it, honestly. And then when you find out a lot of it is scripted, that kind of takes away from it as well. You know, I was... this weekend, with lack of nothing better to do after coming back from the matches and the training and stuff on Friday, we're watching Larry King, and he had Hugh Hefner and his three girlfriends, and they were talking about their reality show, was The Girls Next Door, and they were saying that they were butted heads with the production company initially because they wanted to script them and they didn't want to be scripted,
right?
You know, and they were wanting to do, you know, more clothing, you know, more Playboy-ish stuff, and that wasn't what they were trying to sell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, I mean, so I thought I found that interesting, but yeah, I think, you know, if it legitimately Mick, you know, I mean, the whole family aren't this. I don't mean they're stupid, but they're not as witted as Mick is.
Mm-hmm.
Few of us are. You know, so, but I would much prefer to see what comes off the top of his head than to have you lay something out, you know.
Definitely, and I think he's a good example of the wrestling industry. He's the way that that you praise Stacy Keibler, you know, as a representative of the wrestling industry in the public eye. And I think Mick is one of those guys, so I have high hopes for the series.
Well, I to me... See, it's something he's a personal friend. I've known him for a long time. So I'm going to see it, whether good, bad, or indifferent, just because it's somebody I know.
Right.
You know, so, if it's good, I think that's great. But, you know, that's the thing now, too, with so many reality series, series. You've got a lot more to pick from, so you don't, you don't have to. You don't have to take something that's not the quality you're looking for.
Mm. Now the guys in the chat room are saying that you need your own reality show. Left.
Yeah, right. No. You know, well, the thing we did for MTV was kind of like that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And well, they're small. You know, we were on ABC 2020 and then MSNBC's special edition magazine shows, too, in the same light. In fact, B.J. Whitmer and at that time his girlfriend, who was in our school, was featured the MSNBC thing. As a couple, and then both being in this, you know, training for the same career and so forth. So
right.
On. But anyway, they're done in that, you know, to a certain degree. But the MTV thing, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, was totally spontaneous. You know, because that was exactly the way they wanted it. So, which was fine with me too. You know.
I think it's better reality than, you know, scripting stuff like that. But that would be cool, you know.
I think some of the things, and I do understand if you put a family in a particular situation to see how they react to it. Like I watched Driving Force, which is about
race cars.
Drag racing.
Right.
John Force and his daughters and but it's, I mean, a lot of personal, but the thing. Where he goes to anger management, and the family goes with him.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
You're not a big fan of that part.
He took them to where he grew up as a child. they've taken a vacation together. Now, I think things like that, probably the producers of the reality series say, well, what if, you know? Or like I watch Workout, which is about a personal training studio in L.A., which is on the Bravo channel, because that was another, you know, something I pursued. I've been a personal trainer and managed gyms. Anyway, they, you know, have them go on an outing together, all the trainers and the owner of the gym. They have them show up at a party, different things, right, to catch them at different. Well, you know, if you watched Tough Enough, you thought part of the, you know, Cornette and I made fun of it. A lot of guys did, you know, especially the fancy housing. And I thought, my God, everybody would want to train to be a wrestler if it's like this.
Right.
You know,
maybe that's kind of the
point.
Only,
I could only wish that this was what I was harnessed with. But the other thing is, too, it's like Road Rules and the reality. What's the other reality series on MTV? It's been around for 100 years.
Real World.
Yeah, Real World. It's almost like mandatory. You have to go out and get drunk and show your butt.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
It breaks up the monotony, I guess, of the day.
But see, that to me, I don't. I mean, listen. I just don't see that. Well, the point is, it was entertained the first time. The 101st, it was like, oh, okay.
Right.
Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. When I first tried to watch the UFC reality series, you know, about the kids training, mm. The guys urinated on the other guy's bed. I said, come on.
Right.
On the first episode, I'm done.
Yeah.
I mean, I turn it on once in a great while if I got nothing else going on. But it's just like, come on, you're trying too hard now.
It's actually come a long way from that. But
yeah, but you're trying too hard.
Right.
You know, and that's one of the things that happens in our business with the writers or whatever, is they're trying too hard. You know, so whatever.
Who knows? I still think this would be cool, though, a Les Thatcher reality show with you training kids every week.
Well, you know what? If somebody's putting up the cash, I'm in, man.
Yeah.
You know.
Heck yeah. But yeah, we'd all watch that.
I'm no pushover, but I can be hat.
Right. But would you let them follow you, like, into your home and stuff? And
well, you know what?
Of course they'd want to.
I mean, up to a certain degree, I there would be times that I want my privacy. I mean,
right.
Never mind the camera privacy. There's times that I just want to be left alone.
Yeah, watch TV
or
have a beer.
Downtime, sure.
Or not a beer, you don't drink.
Sure.
But, yeah. But, yeah, would you go to anger management, like on the Driving Force?
Why, sure. I don't care. You know, if they're paying for it, I'm there, man.
Oh, money, guys, money. All right, PW Insider, they're reporting that Ivan Koloff was involved in a car accident over the weekend in Charlotte area.
Yeah, I read about
area.
That from what his wife sent out. He was hit on the driver's side. This girl was driving about 50 miles an hour, broke six of his ribs. They had to use the jaws of life to get him out. But he's going to be all right, they said.
Yeah.
He'll be healed in about 6 weeks. And they said because of the muscularity around his chest is saving him a lot worse.
Yeah,
and I've heard that a couple times. God love him. Luther Lindsay was a personal friend of mine. Was in a car wreck that they told him would have killed a lesser man, but because he was so heavily muscled, it protected him.
Yeah, that has saved a lot of the lives that I've read about. You know,
yeah.
I was actually I was going over Terry Funk's book, more than Hardcore. Uh-huh. Over the weekend, because you know I've been well. Everybody knows I haven't been well, so I've been doing a lot of bed rest.
We don't want to get into your mental state,
right? so I was reading some books, and Terry Funk's book was one of them. And there was a lot of things, you know, and I wish that we could have gone back and I wish I would have reread this before we had Ted DiBiase on, because I guess I knew it, but I forgot that he was a West Texas State boy.
Yeah.
With the rest of them, that Terry, well, not exactly at the same time, but I mean, who's there with Terry? Dusty Rhodes was out there, Stan Hansen, all those guys. I thought that was very interesting, but yeah, there was a story in there about one of the wrestlers who had got an accident, and they pretty much told him the same thing, that
yeah.
You know, he would have died if he hadn't had You know, I guess, right. Cushion.
Well, see, it just goes to show that proves it. All those hours of diligence you spend in the weight room, Doc, are probably going to pay off for you someday.
Right. They're not all for naught. Guys.
If the listeners don't know what I'm talking about, Doc passed by a gym once.
Yes.
That's Doc's only connection to
me. No. I looked in the window.
Oh, okay. Well, I knew you were dedicated. But
no,
I didn't realize how dedicated.
Actually, when I was in high school, I was I worked out a lot. I was able to. I think I weighed. I was a little guy in high school. I weighed maybe 125 pounds, and I was able to bench press about 170 at that time, which was good for a little guy like me. I think. I mean, I know a lot of people. You know,
here's the thing too. Proportionally. You could take 10 guys your size, and some guys would be better in leg exercises. A lot of it has to do with your genetics, you know. I've known some very strong guys that weren't, like, great benchers, you know,
right.
but in terms of deadlifts and that sort of thing, you know, they were tremendously strong.
Did you get to catch Raw last night?
Did I get to catch it?
Yeah.
I saw part of it.
What did you think about the whole angle with Bobby Lashley having to do the gauntlet?
I think it's stupid. did you want my opinion?
I wanted a longer one, but yeah, I mean, I guess generally, I wasn't a big fan of it.
Where's this going? You know, now I just see Vince's strength being hiding behind these young wrestlers and giving them the rub.
Right.
And this whole run the gauntlet, again, you've stipulated me to death. You know,
right.
Let's run the gauntlet. Let's have a quadruple. Let's, you know, you four guys beat me up last week. I can't wait till you beat me up this week.
Right.
And since you're the owner of the company, no matter if I beat you, you're going to take your belt and go home. So why am I even bothering? You're killing your own angle, Doc.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you being locked in a steel vault with you, the combination on the inside, you're the only one that has it, with the whole Fifth Army on the outside,
mm-hmm.
and saying, well, anyone that could beat me, I'll give them $1 million.
Right.
Does that pretty much, does that excite me to turn that show on? Why?
Yeah. In time, you know, as time has gone on, I've been more and more impressed with Lashley. I don't think it's a good angle for him to be in.
For anybody to be in.
That's true.
But see, what Lashley needs more than working with Vince and Shane is working with somebody like Benoit or Regal or Finlay who can teach him something.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say, what do you mean teach him? He's, I don't care. He's still, you know, he's green as grass. And he's just got a couple years under his belt, and he's still got a lot to learn.
Right.
And sadly enough, this is not a knock. He's not going to learn from Vince or Shane. I mean, he's not.
Right.
You know, that's like saying, "Well, hey, I'm going to play for the Braves, so to learn to play second base, I'm going to have Ted Turner go out on the field with me." Why? Because he owns the company. I mean, you know,
right.
That doesn't make him. You know, he's the owner, not the manager or the trainer. But anyway, I mean.
So if they were going to do an angle like this, and it hadn't happened yet. And they came to you and they said, Les, who should we do this angle with? Would you say somebody like Michaels who has already been there, done that, and doesn't need to learn from anybody but can help carry the angle?
Yeah. Well, see, and that's the other thing, too. If you put Lashley in with somebody that can carry the angle, then they're going to elevate him, just the way Benoit's elevated MVP, just the way that Undertaker elevated Batista, just the way that Michaels elevated Cena, you know? So, yes, Cena's a better worker than Lashley. I mean, Cena's a better worker than Lashley, which doesn't mean Bobby doesn't love his mother and go to church on Sunday. It just means that he's still green, and he's got a lot to learn, and he's not going to learn from Vince or Shane.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless he's going to run the websites or promote, you know, which case I say follow them around. But he's not going to do those things.
What do you think about Stephanie McMahon becoming the new, I guess, hire or fire?
Listen, let me tell you something. You know, I was born into a family that where my father and my grandfather were bricklayers. They were masons, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I even got a merit badge in masonry. You gonna let me build your house? If you do, you're a damn fool. I was born to a bricklayer, and had a grandfather's a bricklayer. Does that make me a bricklayer? Even mm-hmm. though I've laid a little brick, or played around it laying brick.
All right.
But see where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
Because when she was born into it, I don't care. What does that have to do with anything?
Well, can't you learn a lot just by being around it?
What I see here is a child, and when I say this, I don't mean it in a disrespectful way, but not a child, but a child to me. But, trying to make her mark. And her mark is to change something that doesn't need to be changed. To reinvent the wheel, it doesn't need to be reinvented.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, I don't care that it is. Stephanie, if it were Shane's wife, if it were Linda doing it, if it were my mother doing it, or my wife, I'd say the same thing. Go with what, there's the old saying is, go with what got you to the dance.
Right.
And it wasn't... it wasn't cartoonish stuff, and it wasn't all this crazy, everything. That's why, try these goofy gimmicks out get yourself 2 or 3, 4 or 5 developmental territories, switch your people around. Instead of firing everybody, take the good workers like a Rob Conway and put them in that developmental system to work matches and with the kids, because the kids can't help each other improve as greatly as they can from a veteran, because if you and I each have 6 months in the business or a year and 6 months, whatever the case may be, or 4 years for that matter, sometimes we can't correct our own mistakes because we don't realize they're mistakes.
Right.
We're not that knowledgeable.
Right.
And realize with perfect, I shouldn't say that. I mean, but it's backyard is backyard, and it's not... But I would say, kids that are going to play pro soccer start playing soccer at 6 or 7 years of age, or pro baseball or pro football. Mm-hmm. You're not going to do that as a pro wrestler. For the most part, the best people that have ever come through my place weren't, they started from scratch, no matter what else they did or didn't do.
Right.
Right? So that's not something, even a great amateur doesn't necessitate that you're going to be a great pro. There's for every Kurt Angle, there's 100 guys that didn't do that. So I mean, the point is, you try the gimmicks at the developmental level, see if it fits the guy you've tagged with it.
Right.
First of all, let him, I mentioned that the gimmick depends a lot on the person, more so than the gimmick itself. So if I'm not totally completely into that gimmick, that doesn't mean I can't make you money as a wrestler doing something else, but it means I'm not going to, you're not going to throw yourself completely into something you're not comfortable with.
Uh-huh.
I don't give a damn who you are or what it's worth that you're just not going to do that. That's human nature, So, I mean, that's why actors pick and choose parts, right?
Yeah.
Because everything doesn't fit. And because I see you and say, hey, let's turn him into a doofus that walks around with a cane and takes bad bumps. that doesn't mean you can play that part. I mean, in your case,
I can play that part.
Yeah, in your case, you can. But
I was born for that part.
Everybody can't. But you get my point?
Right.
Or the fact that, because a guy, hey, that guy's 6'5". We'll make him a basketball player. There's a good chance that he can't even dribble the damn ball. Right, just because he's 6'5" doesn't make him a basketball player, So I mean, it's just you gotta have a feel for something, and here's the other thing: because you weren't born into it doesn't mean you can't be good at it. But just because you inherited it doesn't make you good at it either.
Right. What do you think about Shane McMahon? Would you say he's a passable wrestler?
No. Well, for doing it once every so often, yeah.
Yeah.
But then you also got to understand that this is not the first time somebody from the family worked and the boys had to put them over better than they put each other over, because that's part of the job, too.
Yeah.
right?
Right.
You've got to take bigger bumps. And when I say that, I'm not saying it because that makes me mad at Shane or Vince. That's just if it were Jim Crockett and Jim Crockett Jr., if they were in the ring, you'd take bigger bumps for them. I mean, it's, you know.
It's true.
I mean, you know, politics has always been a part of this business. Politics right now is a very huge negative in this business for a simple reason. You know, there's one big promotion, and then there's TNA, and there it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of guys had the opportunity from my generation to, you know, well, I had favorite territories. Toward the end, I worked just certain territories. It was why waste my time? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why go someplace you don't want to be?
Right.
Or where you're not over, you know, and by the time, you know, like in the second half of my, well, not totally the second half, but, you know, like after I'd been in the business over 10 years or so, I knew the territories that had given me a push that were going to use me properly, you know, and where I was going to, you know, be comfortable. And that's part of it, too, you know. So now it's like, okay, I don't agree with this. Well, you better not say you don't agree. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's horrible. It's the Emperor's New Suit, the 2007 road version.
Right.
And it's sadly enough, it's part of the business, but it's the wrong part. I mean, I don't agree with it. It's very, you know, I've always found it uncomfortable to play, which is not to say that I won't. If you hire me to do a job, I will do it. But, you know, this is a business to me where every participant, if we're doing a tag match, then all four of us should have some input. Now, that doesn't mean equal input, but some input, you know?
Right.
It shouldn't go on the strength of this guy who wrote a Hollywood movie or a TV series who's never taken a bump. And I've said this before, too, with the agents, Steamboat, Finley, Steve Kern, that crew, Arn Anderson, that crew that they've got backstage, Barry Windham. These guys know thousands of finishes. You don't have to let them write your stuff, but let them fill in the blanks or help shape your stuff. Hey, Doc, you worked 10,000 matches. I was always told you're a good finish man. Here's the deal. I got wrestler A and wrestler B, and I want to, you know, here's what I want to do with them. Now, within that context, how can you help me? Give me a good finish, something that'll take us to the next level. Help me. Who should I put over in this match? I mean, the problem here is it's not working together. It's the underlings doing what they're told.
Mm-hmm.
And that's never been a winning combination in our business. Short of, at certain times, if you're the teacher and everyone in your class is a neophyte, you know, or a novice or have no knowledge, then obviously, yes, shut up and do what you're told.
Right.
You know, but if you and I are involved in a main event in a major pay-per-view, then feel relatively assured that we know something, right? And what we do know, if we know nothing else, is about ourselves. I know a lot of guys, a lot of top guys, heels and baby faces over the years that knew how to book themselves. They couldn't book anybody else.
Yeah.
But, you know, once you have a track record, then you need to ask that person's input, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you know, so anyway, that's all gone by the, which is, don't get me wrong, I'm sure Triple H and Michaels have some input into their matches. But a lot of these guys are just thrown out there, you know, especially the underdog, the preliminary guys, the underlings, what's their chance of actually earning advancement? Well, you know, without being chosen, hardly any.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which wasn't never the case before. You had a chance to earn your wings. You know, so.
So it's better for everybody to have a little bit of input into what they're going to do.
Well, you know, now when I say that, the first few years, a couple years in my, you know, I might be asked, can I do something? Is this, are you capable of doing this physically? Because obviously they're not going to put themselves at risk to do something, to ask me to do something I can't do. But to actually be saying, what is your opinion? It was a few years before I was allowed to have an opinion,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is fine, too. Because, you know, when you're sitting down with, say, a tag match, and with major players who have been down this road before, if you're smart, you'll open your ears and keep your mouth shut.
Right.
Especially initially in your career, you know.
Because you're not going to come in knowing everything.
Well, no. Well, yes. Well, no. No matter who you are, you're
right.
You know, I like one of the things that I stress to kids is, you know, Ric Flair wasn't born being the Ric Flair that had the great match of the Steamboat and Harley Race, and you know, and Terry Funk and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that man had to be developed. You know, he had to grow, he had to mature, he had to learn. It didn't happen, and it didn't happen overnight.
Right.
You know, so.
Guys, we are going to take a break. When we come back, we've got Judgment Day. We're going to play the pay-per-view prediction game, find out who won from the Judgment Day pay-per-view. Johnny Fairplay is coming up. He's our featured guest this week. And Les, a special treat for all the listeners out there tonight. We're going to play a little bit of Ask Les in the second hour.
Well, okay.
So, guys, if you're in the chat room right now, get your questions ready.
Whatever.
Try to make it about wrestling, guys. Don't ask, you know, who.
Oh, you know, before we take a break, I hope I'm right. Jeff, I was up in Elizabeth in this past Friday, and he listens to the show. And he's not a wrestler, but he came in. He had an old program from Southeastern Wrestling from mm-hmm. back in the 70s that, you know, when we were in Knoxville, and out of the Knoxville office. And anyway, he brought up and his daughter and his wife, and they've got another little girl on the way, and we had a pleasant chat and signed the program for him. Real nice guy, but anyway, he came down and introduced himself, and so I just wanted to say a shout out to him. It was good to meet him.
Cool. As some people know, I do, you know, ring announcing and little stuff here and there around the area. I have not gone to a show yet where somebody has heard of my show or knew who I was yet. So I'm still at that point. But one guy did say that he was at No Second Chances that I ran into.
He was
a manager. No, he was not my father. Even though my father was there.
I know he was. I met him.
Yeah, he was taking tickets.
And I gave him my condolences.
Yes. You're like, I don't know what you did with that kid. But
no, I said, Mr. Young, my sympathies for having to put up with this child.
We're going to take a break, guys. We'll be back right after this. We're going to get right into the pay-per-view prediction game. And then it's Ask Less time. So get your questions ready if you're in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com, guys. Stick around. We'll be right back. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. It's Wrestling Weekly.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Wrestling-Radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-Radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, the best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Brooklyn, Brooklyn.
Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
Madmaniacs.com.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Hi, my name is Adam Newdelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Newdelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you. It's Wrestling Weekly, guys. Johnny Fairplay coming up in just a little bit. We're also going to play Ask Les, so get your questions ready for Les. But right now, it's time to find out, Les, who won the pay-per-view prediction game from last week. Of course, it was WWE's Judgment Day on Sunday.
Yes, yes.
And we had some controversial picks, Les.
We did. Does that mean you won or I won?
That means weird things happened. First of let's just go ahead and start off with one of the main matches, Michaels versus Orton.
Uh-huh.
Shawn Michaels, well, you know, unbeknownst to us when we played the game, because we played it last Tuesday, but on Wednesday the news came out that Michaels had two blown knees. He probably wouldn't make the pay-per-view, things like that.
Right.
You and I had went with Michaels on this one. We're like, you know, there's no way Orton's going to win this. He's in a lot of trouble right now. But Orton did come out on top in this match due to the concussion angle and things like that.
Right.
So there was no point for that one. We also had CM Punk versus Elijah Burke. Les, you went with Burke on this one. I went with CM Punk, the good old crowd favorite.
Uh-huh.
And Punk ended up taking that one, so that's
well,
the point for me.
By God, you're the man.
I so far I am, yes.
Okay.
but we just started. Les, Rick versus Carlito, interesting matchup. And the fact that Carlito has just turned heel again and now likes to yell things in Spanish at women.
Okay, whatever.
Right. But I went with Carlito on this. No. I thought it was the start of something. I thought they were, you know, that they were getting ready to give Carlito a push.
Uh-huh.
It turns out that Ric Flair ended up winning that, and that's the man that you picked to win that match.
Thank
so,
you.
1-1 here so far. Benoit versus MVP. They didn't fool us last. You and I had went with, MVP has been looking good lately, and maybe it's about time. And if anybody's going to put him over, Benoit's a guy that could put him over. And
now, I don't think this, that was their best match.
No.
I mean, that of the four they've had, I don't think.
I think it was three pay-per-view matches and one TV match.
Yeah, it wasn't
match.
Bad, but it was nearly the best of the
I actually think match. The first one was the best one.
Well, I don't know. Maybe the two. I'm not sure the last one, maybe, before this. I don't know. Anyway, go ahead.
That's a point for each of us. We both picked MVP on that one. Edge versus Batista. We both went with Edge on this one. And
so we're still tied.
Edge came out on top 3-3. Cena versus Kali and what was an incredible main event.
What?
showing Kali's technical skills and Cena's ability to... No, I'm just kidding. Cena ended up winning that match, of course. Boy, that would have been a big shock, though. What if Kali had won? I had sat there and I was thinking, and people were telling me, they were like, you know, I can't believe you said that on the show last week, because last week I had said that if Kali won, I was going to, like, shave my head or do something drastic. I was just going to pick something, but it was, like, my whole world would come to an end.
Well, people do anything to get attention. What can I do?
That's right. And it worked, though, because people were saying, they were like, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do if Kali wins? And I really started thinking about that, and I was like, wow. What would happen if Kali won that? For one thing, Les, I think you would quit the show.
Well, you know what? I don't know. I would be very suicidal, probably.
I give up.
But, if nothing else.
Right. Cena ends up taking that one. We get a point for that apiece. And finally, it was Lashley taking on McMahon, Shane, and Umaga. You went with Lashley on this one to win the match.
And he did.
And he did win the match. I went with McMahon to, you know, say... I just thought they were going to drag it out a little bit further, which they did. And Lashley did not win the title, but he did win the match, and that's what you said.
They're not. They are going to drag it out, sadly enough.
So, yeah, I was kind of hoping, but you know, I was. Who knows? But yeah, Lashley did win the match, and you won the last point, Nat, and that put you over the top, Les. This is like the fourth time in a row that you beat me at this game.
That's scary.
Except for a tie once.
To think that I'm. To be able to deal with an expert like you on such an equal footing.
Because, hey, 2006, you got to admit, was my year in this game.
Okay, whatever.
If you maybe won three times out of the whole year, but now I've maybe won once or twice, maybe, this year.
Well, this is only the fifth month, and if I've won four.
Yeah. No, yeah. But there's, you know, there was, what do you call it, sometimes where there's two pay-per-views in one, TNA, of course, you know, things like
right.
that. So we play it more than once a month.
Yeah, there's a couple more coming up here really quick, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Do we have one coming this Sunday? No?
No.
Okay.
Quick turnaround, though, for 2 weeks is going to be the next WWE pay-per-view.
Okay.
So we'll be getting ready for that. We'll be talking about that kind of stuff. Guys... it's time for Ask Les, and the listeners have been putting chat room questions up.
Okay.
At WrestlingWeekly.com. We're going live right there right now. And
are they really at WrestlingWeekly.com?
Sometimes I just think,
how would I know these things if you didn't tell me?
That's right. That's exactly the point.
Okay, go ahead.
The main ingredient says... if you were asked to come to OVW to work with the guys down there, would you do it?
Yeah, I wouldn't pack a move down there. I only live 100 miles from there. Sure.
Right.
Sure. I would work with them down there.
Another question, and I can't pronounce this guy's name. It's like E-I-T-N-A fan. But question for Les. From what you've seen of Santino Marella, what do you think of him?
He's not ready to be where he's at. That's what I mean. I don't know. He's all right. He's average. He didn't jump. I mean, he seems to work hard. He didn't jump off the page at me, though. He's not ready to be in the position he's in. They maybe realize that, but they've already put the belt on him. And, you know, the hell of it is, it's going to, you know, having that happen to him and then him just kind of fading into the sunset is doing nothing for him or the title.
No.
You know, so that's the bad part. But, no, if it were up to me, he wouldn't be up there yet.
The Marella name, you know, really gets me. Of course, that's Gorilla Monsoon's last name.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a nod to Gorilla?
Oh, it's probably, yeah. It's an inside, I won't know about a joke, but yeah, everybody, you know, it's like Simon Dean.
Right.
Dean Simon. So
right.
Anyway, yeah, it's, I'm sure it is.
Let's find another question here. I have a question. Being that Les wrestled, this is coming from Ravishing Ronald, by the way. Says, I have a question. Being that Les wrestled in the 70s and 80s, did you have any idea what Vince Jr. was going to do in the business? And I believe he's talking about trying to take over the territories. Did anyone know how to stop him? Bottom line to me is territory days are better than this.
Well, I agree. You know, the territories had more functions than just, you know, everybody, more guys worked. You didn't get worn out. The only problem with the territory, you know, with the territory is cable television, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, did anybody know? I don't know anybody who had there. What to stop him? He was kind of right in his own way that the promoters didn't trust each other. I put together a show called Wrestling Weekly. We did a pilot for a half hour, like news, a magazine show for professional wrestling, and had it sold and had it ready to go in 16 markets. That's another story as to what happened, you know, why it never got on the air, and it would have. But the crazy thing, this was our way of helping the promoters that Vince was going into all their territories, but it was the thing we would never feature anybody in your segment you didn't want featured. You know, in other words, we couldn't sit and confer with you, but you give me six guys in your territory I can build on, and I'll build on them. You know?
Uh-huh.
But the crazy thing is a lot of, and we had sold in Fort Worth, Dallas, Philadelphia. I forget all the different markets that it was, you know, it was already pre-sold as a series in. But a lot of the promoters wouldn't work with us. I say a lot because they were going to be on the same television show with other promotions.
Right.
Right. And, but our intent was to help everybody, you know, which it would have.
Uh-huh.
I mean, now, don't get me wrong, it doesn't mean Vince still wouldn't have. No, I was running tours for WCW. Actually, Georgia Championship Wrestling / WCW at that time, you know, in 82 and 83.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when I was up here, I got a call in the office about who had run in Cleveland, because we had just secured a building in Cleveland and put our TV on up there. So anyway... did this belong to Vince? And as far as I'm concerned, Cleveland never did, not in my lifetime. But anyway, we knew then that he was planning on expanding. You know?
Right.
And
do you think that he used the promoters' paranoia against each other
favor? Well, what he did was gambled, you know, took a hell of a gamble.
Mm.
Well, but he went in, if you had, see, back then, 99% of your television was barter, right? And
right.
Trade out. I supply you with a show. I get X number of commercial minutes to plug my product, and you get to sell the rest. You know, so
right.
Now what's that mean for? Well, I don't know. Now I'm Vince or Vince's people, and I come in behind you and say, well, what are you deriving profit-wise on this show, Mr. TV sales, or programming director? Well, I'm, you know, our company's realizing oppy, oppy, oppy. What if I pay you that and let you keep that commercial time? Can you put my show on in place of their show?
Yeah.
And they weren't considering, you know, that most of those promoters wouldn't have considered doing that. Watts had gone national, but it cost him a lot, and he couldn't get this, you know, and he couldn't get his sales up, commercial sales and stuff up to justify the cost of him going national. Fritz made a little money that way, but, Tully Blanchard's dad, Joe, went national and couldn't swing it. Vern.
And this was all before WWE's expansion.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, I'll tell you the truth. I remember seeing that Nashville, the Nick Gould's promotion was on USA. I think it was USA or A&E, whatever it was. I'm not even sure. But when I first got cable at my apartment in Charlotte, this would have been in 77. Charlotte, in Knoxville. This would have been in 77. And I saw their show, and I told Ron Fuller, who owned the territory, I said, my God, it's a horrible show. It's horribly produced and just, you know, badly put together. I said, our show is so much better because we had innovated a lot of stuff in the wrestling television at that time,
mm-hmm.
that other people weren't doing. And I said, you know, if we sent a copy there, I don't know why we couldn't get on this station or not, you know. And he said, well, why would I want to? I'm not going to run in all these towns at that that cable action. But see, that was the mentality then.
Right.
You know, why would I want to be on in those places? I'm not going to run there. You know, but then that's one of the things that Georgia Championship Wrestling had. Well, you know, Crockett's promotion, we were on, I don't forget how many stations. I used to know, but I don't anymore. But, you know, we bicycled a tape around to like the 30-some different stations. Mm. So you had a network, but it was a smaller network, you know,
right
at the time. But anyway, so that's how Vince got those televisions in a lot of markets. And, well, you know, he gambled. He was in New York, which obviously is the big place for, you know, advertising. And you look, I don't know, you look more big time if you're in New York than you do if you're in Charlotte, you know, or whatever. I mean, as stupid as that sounds, but it's probably true. And so anyway, you know, the promoters, well, Crockett's, you know, tried to expand past where they really needed to be. The crazy. Now, I'll tell you the truth. When Fuller, this is after I wasn't working for him at the time, but I know when they first ran, Vince first ran Birmingham. Ron ran almost right across the street. Vince, he ran where I forget the name of the auditorium. Bowell Auditorium in Birmingham is where we traditionally ran wrestling, and Vince ran the big Coliseum across the street, and Ronald outdrew him. Because it was the regional promotion had that strong television down there. There were certain markets that at the time the WWF product didn't get over in.
Right.
You know, and well, that was one of the reasons Turner wouldn't keep the show on the air there. He got such a, you know, the ratings dropped in his markets in Atlanta, you know, off of TBS because the people wanted to see Gordon and wanted to see Georgia.
Yeah,
they didn't want to see WWE. It was a different product at the time. But then, you know, once you become, here's a crazy thing. It's not just about wrestling, but once you, you're perceived as bigger, then you kind of become better.
Right.
Even if you are or you're not, you know, up to the, you know, right up to the, I'll tell you the truth, during the Monday Night Wars, I used to watch a lot of pay-per-views. A lot of the kids who trained with me, I mean, back before they were 30 or 40, you know, would gather here at my house, and we would all chip in and buy the pay-per-view and sit and critique it and watch it. But we knew this. We knew that the strong undercard was going to be WCW with a weak top, and the weak bottom was going to be WWE, or, well, WWF at the time, with the strong main events.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And you know what? It's still that way. Why?
I don't know.
Well, it shouldn't, but that's the point. They don't put enough emphasis and keep their foundation deep and strong is the reason.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to the they knew Vince was making a move, and there wasn't a lot they could do. Well, you know, everybody thought they were smarter. Well, Vern, you know, got on national cable. And but the problem was he didn't want to change with the times. And when I say that, I, as much as traditionalist as I am, I realize there are times you make changes, you know,
right,
to stay up with the Joneses, as it were. So
another question: what's your opinion on the uprising of comedy wrestling promotions in Japan?
You know what? I've never, you know, I know a little bit about them. Well, there's one, you know, there's a guy who uses our training manual in Israel, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, Geary. They do a show over there that got on television, got on a TV station over there. That was a parody. It was comedy. But if you see it, that's exactly what it is, parody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you won't mistake it for, you know, they're trying to suspend your disbelief. But see, that's the point, too. You can go one way or you can go the other. I just think it's tough to split, you know, to split it.
Do you think it's sort of like... You know, I've seen on TV a lot of parodies of the show Cops, but sometimes Cops is so outrageous in its own self that the parody doesn't come off as funny because it's not too far from the truth. Do you think that's the same situation with parody wrestling promotions?
Yeah, sure. You know, and you've heard me say when we had Colt Cabana on the show that here was a guy who had that elusive talent of being able to to do a little comedy in the midst of something serious, but everybody's not capable of doing that.
Right.
You know, but everybody tries. I know some of the small promotions, sadly enough, have gone to slapstick comedy and craziness like that. And you know what? It does nothing for their people. And it's, you know, it's bad enough when it's done with great production like WWE or TNA, but with bad production, bad talent, and it's not, you know, it's not funny. You know, it's just, again, it's a waste of their tape and time, and, you know, it's it, that, you know, I won't go into all that, but yeah, I think the parody is, you know, if you're doing a parody, you're doing a parody.
Right.
But you know, my problem is Doc Young, the bumbling idiot. If you're selling me that, you know, or the for the last 5 minutes, and now you want me to take Doc Young seriously as he goes for the gold and becomes an Olympic hero. Well, make up your mind. Which is it you want here?
Right.
You know, you're not going to cast Shemp Howard as your male lead in an action drama, right?
Right.
You know who Shemp Howard is, right?
Three Stooges.
Huh?
Three Stooges.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So, you know, and you're not going to cast Tom Selleck probably as a replacement for Shemp Howard in the Three Stooges.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And Selleck can do some comedy, but it's not going to be the same kind. And that's the problem. I think you're not doing sophisticated comedy. You're doing slapstick, mm-hmm. you know. And, well, they the other night, what they had the divas deciding on who they thought would win between Kali and Cena, and one of them said, Cena because he's hot. What? But see, here's again, you've spent $250,000 for what?
Right.
You know, and is that going to get me to buy a pay-per-view if I were on the fence, or is it going to get me more interested in Cena's match because some chick thinks he's hot? Who's not too smart to begin with?
No, but there are a lot of people out there. Like, I think I've said this on the show before, but my mom, she voted for Bill Clinton during the presidency in 92 because she thought he was cute.
Oh, no, I don't doubt. Listen, I've always said that if Presley had have lived, the women of would have made him president of the United States, and that would have been a sin.
Right.
You know, but yeah, a lot of things are popular, and I understand that. You know, and I understand that's part of John's. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's bad that a chick would think John's hot and she's going to buy a pay-per-view because of it. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons a lot of the guys boo him.
Right.
Because, you know, he has that aura for women. But, I mean, the point is, you can't sell that to me.
Right.
I'm not mad you sell it to my wife or my girlfriend. But I don't think John's hot, you know.
Right.
So, no. So it's not always beneficial, you know.
The main ingredient says, as interesting as the wrestling business is behind the scenes, why hasn't there been a successful movie or a TV show about it?
You know why? Probably because truth is stranger than fiction. I often said it. I'm a big fan of the Harold Robbins type of novel, and Robbins wrote The Carpetbaggers, among other things, but... anyway, I've always thought, dreamed that if I were a great novelist, I would want to write a wrestling novel. The scope of one of the Robbins things about the Robbins has written about the automobile industry, Hollywood, network television, and of course the deal with his stuff is try to guess who the actors are that he really know, because this guy really traveled in those circles, you know. And I always thought about writing one of those books, and I thought, you know, and you'd have to label it fiction because nobody believed half of it. It's true.
Right.
You know, I mean, seriously, I mean, there's so many wild and bizarre things that have gone on in this business. But I, you know, I don't know if I signed on to a movie as a consultant, or, you know, I would have to drop out of sight. I would have to go in the witness protection plan. Because, well, you know, I mean, you know, somebody's going to be irritated about that, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, so, yeah, it's, it would be interesting. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, yeah, it's, you know, I don't know. Probably because people don't think there was, you know, it would be, well, the documentary, you know, with Mick and Jake and Terry, because you knew those people, but I don't know. if you know, movies like, the, what was the one that WCW was involved in? And
Ready to Rumble.
Oh, that was horrible.
I loved that movie.
Well, of course you did. Of course you did.
Ready
and
to Rumble.
Yours
rocks.
Is the mentality of which those movies are made.
It was fun. I mean, it didn't take itself too seriously.
For slow-witted and slow learners. They have to make something entertaining for you people, too. I think it'd be make a great movie. You know, you just couldn't do it as fictional. You'd have to do it fictional and, of course, let people guess who they're talking about.
Right.
You know.
There was a show on when I was a child, and I used to watch it all the time, and it was about wrestling. I don't know if you remember it. It was called Learning the Ropes.
You know what? I remember seeing part of that, but I never seen one that I thought was that I got all cranked up about.
Well, I was in eighth grade at the time.
Yeah.
And it had Lyle Alzado. He was a professional wrestler. I think he was the only one that played a wrestler on that show that really wasn't a wrestler.
Uh-huh.
They had Dr. Death, Steve Williams on there all the time. The Road Warriors, Animal and Hawk were on there quite a bit. But that was, I think, the only, you know, TV series about wrestling that actually
there was talk of doing one. I forget who the two guys were. It were supposed to be gym owners that were former wrestlers. And I don't remember who it was. It's been a long time ago. But, yeah, it's, you know, as a kid I went to see, there was a movie, a black and white movie called Alias and Champ, which is Gorgeous George, the original Gorgeous George in it. Mr. America, I think, was one, or Mr. USA, which was the star, and that was a guy named Vince Edwards, who was Dr. Ben Casey, which is a red-hot show in the late 50s and early 60s, you know, on television. And but he was a body, the guy that played Ben Casey was a bodybuilder. But so anyway, he played in this wrestling movie. But I like that one you were talking about, you know, that for WCW, it was just horrible. I mean, it just was. It was just bad. They tried to do a movie, was it on Spike, with, what was her name from WKRP, Lonnie Anderson,
mm-hmm.
was the mother of these two idiots, the mullets, right?
Mm-hmm.
What network was that on? That was short-lived. I think it played 2 or 3 weeks.
That was UPN, I think.
Yeah, but it was horrible.
Yeah.
Plus, here's the other thing is, what you're basically saying is, we're doing a parody of wrestling fans, and you're blithering, most of you people are blithering idiots, so why don't you tune in and watch our show?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think I'll do that. But you get my point,
Yeah. One last question. Chris the Crusher says, if you took over for Vince McMahon, what's the first three things that you'd do right off the bat?
If I did what?
What's the first three things that you would do if you took over for Vince McMahon?
Well, I would settle the wrestling down more. I would get back more to, and let me say, tell you, I'm not adverse to pyro, the music. You know, there's a lot of the modern things that I wouldn't change at all. But the foundation, I would go back to basics. I would cut a lot of the stipulations out, and I would keep the undercard stronger. Bring guys up and build them over a period of time. I would go sit down with my networks and I'd say, look, I can't give the store away, but we can still continue to sell. Pay-per-views have dropped off, you know, and try to find a happy balance.
All
right. That's all.
Do you think it would work?
I would try to bring a little more respect back to our business.
Yeah.
In terms, when I say respect, not that the boys don't respect one another or blah, 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 but I'm talking about, you know, respect.
Fan perception.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Guys, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got our featured guest. He is the original reality show bad boy, Johnny Fairplay. He also, of course, makes indie appearances now.
He's your lifestyle
as a manager.
Champion too, right?
And Johnny kind of is because, well, he's not my he's not my lifestyle champion, but he is kind of like.
I'm going to tell him you're going to start a fan
a goal. I think there already is, and I think Johnny started it himself, but we'll talk about that when we come back.
All right.
Guys, you're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher on Wrestling Weekly. Johnny Fairplay coming up.
We know, you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
Hi, my name's Adam Nudelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Newdelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you on the line right now. He is he's in the wrestling business now, but a lot of people know him from the reality TV show Survivor, Pearl Island. It's Johnny Fairplay making his return to Wrestling Weekly. John, thanks for being on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
John is more like monkey business than wrestling business.
Well, I try for a little bit of both.
John, so I was watching TV last night. And I was watching
John. He says that like it's a revelation.
Yeah,
right. He's really done something.
I was just chilling out, watching a little VH1, and all of a sudden the show comes on called "Who Are They?" or "Where Are They Now?" Where Are They Now is the name of the show. Reality TV stars, and there's Johnny Fairplay on my TV. I didn't know you had gone anywhere.
I thought you were always there. Yeah. That was actually my 35th different television show that I've done so far, which is, I was kind of surfing the IMDb a little bit, and I might have the record. I think it's me and Bob Hope are tied right now.
You and Bob Hope?
Yeah.
Well, you catch up to Regis pretty soon there.
No, I got Regis beat, don't worry.
You got Regis beat? Wow. But
I think so.
I mean, there was some strange, like shows that you wouldn't think you would see Johnny Fairplay on, like, but all of a sudden here he is, like Judge Mathis. Back in February, here's Johnny Fairplay. What was the whole story with Judge Mathis?
The Judge Mathis thing, a friend of mine called me up and said he was going to be on Judge Mathis, and he pitched the idea to the producers of me being a character witness. And they loved it, so they called me, and I was like, look, I don't know anything about the case. I'm not going to lie and pretend that I do.
Right.
I was like, I'll come in, I'll do the Johnny Fairplay stick, that's it. And they agreed on my appearance fee. They agreed to fly me out. I have a bunch of reality friends in Chicago, so I got to see them for a couple of days. They paid for my extra hotel days and all that, and it was a great time. So and I guess it was the highest rated Judge Mathis episode ever. So that's
sweet.
Yeah, I do what I can.
When are you going to have an affair with Judge Judy or something along those lines?
I wish. She's a little tart, isn't she?
Johnny likes the Spitfire type.
I like a little struggle here and there. consensual.
But on this VH1 show, they had you from an appearance back at the end of March from Ring of Honor. You were with Larry Sweeney, Sweet and Sour, of course. And
oh, love Larry Sweeney. He's one of the best mouths in wrestling right now. So, and he's a good talker too.
But we're just going to move on from there and say Chris Hero is also on there.
He's a good wrestler.
Johnny.
Right. I do what I can.
You took a big shot on that show from Nigel McGuinness, and I guess you ended up with a concussion, right?
Yeah, it was a pretty good concussion. Afterwards, VH1 is like, we've got to get you to the hospital. You know you have a concussion. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I have a club appearance after this. So I was like, we got to go to the club appearance. They're like, you don't want to go to the hospital? I'm like, what are they going to say? You have a concussion? I know. I mean, you know, they don't give you pills for that. So I went and did my club appearance. Nice payday. And we got the footage from that. And the club appearance was insane because, like, we got there, and it's me and Michelle from America's Next Top Model, and she's done wrestling in the past as well, and she's known on her show as, you know, she also likes girls in addition to guys, which makes it easy for me. I don't really have to cheat. We just bring them back with.
Right. When you share.
So when we went to film the segment at the club, we had the VH1 cameras with us and stuff, and so we get there and they have the big VIP booth for us, and you know, and girls are coming up, they're like, hey, can I get a picture? And they're like, yeah, and the camera's like, okay. So they get the footage of the girls asking for the picture, and then they set the camera down. I'm like, whoa, what are you doing? And they're like, no, we got it. I'm like, that's nothing. I'm like, yeah, pick that camera back up. And they're like, whoa. So yeah, the man, the myth, the legend lives on.
Right. So you're just like, fair play's in the house, and that camera better be pointed here, you know.
Club appearances are a lot of fun. So I'll leave it at that.
You've turned your 15 minutes into 15 months. My God, or 15
years. I like to say that I have a 16-minute Rolex.
Now, you do one of your jobs, and one of the things you get paid for, I feel bad calling it a job, but it's sort of like a Paris Hilton type of thing. You get paid to show up at parties.
It's insane. I mean, like, I mentioned that on the VH1 special. I'm just like, I can't believe they pay me for this. Like, they're crazy. So, but I mean, it's, you know, it's fun. I mean, like, I get clubs exposure. I mean, like, I remember doing a tour of Canada last year, and we did Calgary, Edmonton, and, God, I can't remember the third place. But they turned away over 100 people at the first appearance, and I know the other one, they stopped letting people in. So, and these are, we're talking, you know, huge, huge clubs. Mm-hmm. So that's a great feeling. I mean, you know,
when we go off the air, Doc's going to say, John, how do you get a job where you go party?
Yeah. Dude, say mean things on Survivor.
Now, Les was teasing me earlier about stuff like that, saying, yeah, Johnny's your hero and you want to be like him, and you want to be just like him at a party for a living. But the thing is, and I told him, I said, no, but here's why I admire Johnny, and I'll tell you why in the interview. So this is the time I'm going to say this. Johnny is about 1 year older than I am. I'm 32 years old, and a lot of times I feel broken down and old. Like, there are too many things that I have just outgrown that I should not be doing anymore, and Johnny does all of that and more, and he's older than me. So I think that's sort of like a, you know, it's sort of something to strive for is to live life a little bit harder.
I know Bruce Mitchell lives vicariously through me. it's crazy. I mean, like, I hang out with the kids from the Real World and all the, you know, the other MTV and other reality shows, and they're all, you know, a lot younger for the most part, and like, we'll go out, like, you know, whenever there's a new season, I'm like, hey, fresh crop, thank you, and so I'll go out with them, and you know, I'm one of the wildest guys, you know, at the bar and at the club and at parties and stuff, you know, I have a lot of fun. And the chicks are like, they're like, God, they're like, how old are you? And I'm like, how old do you think? And they're like, I don't know, 24, 25?
Right.
And I'm like, no, I'm like, actually, I'm older than that. They're like, well, you act like you're 12.
And that's another thing that me and Johnny are the same at. Well, we both kind of look younger than we are. And people treat us younger than we are. And yeah. When somebody wants to go out after a show or something and party with me, and I'm like, no, I'm tired, I want to go home, they're like, God, you're so old, you know? So, I don't know.
I never turn down a party.
All right. Are you afraid that's going to catch up to you one day, though?
I don't think so. I was a little worried for a while. I mean, like, you know, right after Survivor,
like about
thirty seconds.
Yeah.
You were worried. Yeah. No, I mean, right after Survivor, I was living in L.A. and I had a pretty crazy lifestyle, and you know, and doing some things that I shouldn't have been doing, and that was, I think, putting its toll on me. But I've spent like the last year and a half in Virginia. I mean, I'm still in L.A. like. About a week a month, but for the most part, I'm just in Virginia, and I go hiking and jogging about four times a week, and doing free weights about every day, maybe miss like 2 days a week, if that, doing free weights, eating great. I mean, like, when I was in TNA, I think I was 118 pounds, and I'm currently 148 now.
Hmm.
So, I mean, you know, it's
thin, actually. I was thinking maybe 160. Something.
Yeah, no, I'm the heaviest I've ever been. I gained 30 pounds like in like 2 months last summer. Wow. And kind of maintained it. So
you see, Doc, he conditions himself to party.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, you know,
That's where I went wrong.
So no, I mean, I still have a couple vices. I like Pabst Blue Ribbon, and I like Marlboro Lights. But you know, we all can't be perfect like Les.
And blonde.
You know, I do what I can.
Chris the Crusher in the chat room, he says, what do you think of The Miz? He kind of followed in your footsteps.
You know, I The Miz and I have been really good friends for a long time. I went to, after the Ring of Honor show in Detroit, the next day I went to WrestleMania. And I have lots of friends that, you know, that are working for WWE. And I ended up with seventh row seats, you know, great seats right there. Like, it was my fourth WrestleMania, and by far the most exciting for me, and the best tickets and the best experience I've ever had. You know, it was awesome. And so afterwards, a few of my friends called, and they're like, hey, you're going to come to, you know, the private after party thing? And I'm like, sure, you know, sounds like fun. So we go, and like, there's three levels of security. We get to the first set of security, and a couple of Dusty Rhodes' friends, the Phi Beta Slamma guys.
Uh-huh.
They were there, and they were like, I was like, I don't have a pass or anything. They're like, oh, we'll walk you through. So they get through the first set, so we get through, and there's another set of security, and so we run into Amy Hennig, and she was like, she's like, oh, Johnny Fair playing Michelle from Top Model. You guys just come with me. I'll walk you through. So she walks us through the second and third set of security, so we think we're fine. And then we get to the fourth set, and I'm like, and, you know, she had gone back to her room or something. I'm just like, look, I've already gone through three sets, you know, there's no, and they're like, sorry. So Edge was walking up at that time. I was like, hey, Johnny Fairplay. He's like, what's up? I'm like, hey, can you say we're cool? He's like, yeah, they're cool. And the guy's like, are you sure? And he's like, I said they're cool. And I was like, people say I'm cool all the time. So anyway, so we get in, and like, I get in, and I see Miz, and I'm just like, yeah, I tried to call you a few times. He's like, yeah, I didn't want the heat. So I don't know how good of friends we are right now.
Well, I have been told there are some people that say, you know, Johnny's a handful to handle by himself sometimes, and The Miz is a handful to handle by himself sometimes. But you do not want to be in the same place as Johnny and Miz at the same time.
You're speaking for me too. So no, Miz is a good kid. I wish him the best. I hope they get a program going with him soon. So I'd like him to show. I've seen what he can do, and I'd like the rest of the world to do it as well.
So are you a poker fan?
Yeah, I did Celebrity Poker Showdown. I did pretty well. I drank a little too much that day, and to be honest. I'm doing a lot better now. But it was really frustrating on the Celebrity Poker thing. Like, most people don't know how to play, so unless they have pocket jacks or better, they're gonna fold every time.
Right.
So you're just sitting there, you know, and it's like, okay, I'll bet. I'm like, okay, ace king. You know, so it was a little frustrating. So I hung in there. I think I was there for like 8 hours, and then finally I just started playing crazy, and they're like, fair play's falling apart. I'm like, no, fair play's bored. It's a huge difference. You know, we were playing for charity, but I didn't, you know, wasn't going to my pocket.
I think it was the opening round of six people. And what place did you come in?
Was it six or five? I think it was five.
It was five.
I think that. Yeah, maybe it's six. I don't know. I was out after Trishelle, and then she wouldn't talk to me for 4 hours afterwards. because I bluffed her on a straight. So it was bad because at the time, like, you know, we were really good friends, you know, like really good friends. And yeah, I mean, but you know, all that's purely speculation.
Right. Even though you just said it, it's still speculation.
ICP taught me that.
Now you met, I guess you met Trishelle when you were doing Kill Reality.
Actually, we did a show for VH1 before that called The Life Coach that never made it. Like, this guy that was our life coach ended up punching one of the other people. He punched Jonathan Baker from The Amazing Race.
It's a good thing it wasn't an anger management coach.
Well, I think he was. And that gives you a little insight onto Jonathan Baker. But so they fired that guy, and they had all that footage. So then they brought in Hatch to be our mentor. And then they're like, well, we're going to go on hiatus and figure out where we're going with this. And I don't know, like, it was the best. I think I got like $20,000 for that, and there was never an episode. So I signed me up all day long for those.
Now, you were last year, and Les and I talk about this on the show a lot, but last year in October, he and I ran a show in Indiana. He was there. I ran the show in Indiana. And on the same day, though, on Northern Indiana, you had went up for this WCWA event. It was a Legends convention.
Oh, yeah, the Dream Reunion thing?
The Dream Reunion, yes. And you were defeated by Molly Holly on that show.
Actually, I'm gonna pull out a Mr. Perfect on you. That was an exhibition, not a competition. So the record remains flawless.
Oh, so, I see.
But no, that was a lot. that was so much fun. We had Jimmy Hart brought me out there and put me over as the next Andy Kaufman, which is one of the greatest honors to ever for anyone to ever say about you, I think. And so we did the stick. You know, I was mean to it. That was actually Rupert from Survivor's hometown. So, you know, I called them all losers and said that I got rid of the biggest loser ever from there. And so then Larry Zbyszko came out and said, I heard you were talking about this town and even the women. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, I'll challenge any woman. Molly Holly came out. She gave me the shot to the nether regions, schoolboy 1-2-3, and then I did the, I'm going to sue this town, I'm going to sue this promotion, I'm going to sue all the people here tonight, and yeah, so it was great. And then, so this is right before the intermission, it's like, you know, the first main event or whatever of the evening, and so after that I go to the back, and I was like, how was that? They're like, great, now go out there and sell gimmicks. And I'm like, they're not going to buy anything for me. I just spent 15 minutes screaming at them.
Right.
So I'm like, you got to do my gimmicks before, baby.
Right.
Like, it don't work like that.
What's my next question here? A lot of people don't know this, but you were, you got a lot of training from Rowdy Roddy Piper.
I got a lot from it. I started, I did Indies in the Carolinas. I was originally trained by Manny Fernandez, the Raging Bull. Mm-hmm. And then when I moved from the Carolinas, originally I moved to Silver Spring, Maryland, and I had Axel Rotten, who was training me, and I learned a lot from Axel Rotten. Like Axel's a big student of the game. I mean, you might not notice it from his matches, but you know he was a big fan of, you know, all the old school managers, you know, the Bobby Heenans and stuff, you know, and the really charismatic over the top characters like the Dusty Rhodes of the time, you know, the big talkers.
You know, let me interrupt here a minute, John, and say that you've set a pattern here. You hang around a lot of very low key, boring guys like Axel and Manny, right?
Yeah, right. So. So you know, so I give Axel a lot of credit, and then later I was Roddy Piper's personal assistant. I was a straight one, and I don't know what that means. I learned a ton from Roddy. So I learned that he invented the wheel. He discovered Elvis. He gave Andy Kaufman a stick. I heard he killed the Hillside Strangler. He told me that one day. So I'm pretty sure that's true as well.
Now, we were speaking earlier, of course, about about the drinking and whether you think that you're overdoing it. You said you have gained a lot of weight, but I mean, it seems to me like you. No matter what comes along, you can try to use this to your advantage and gain some kind of popularity off of it. So, is Celebrity Fit Club in your future if you end up gaining a bunch of weight?
No, I've gained muscle. I'm not even close to fat. Well, I don't think so. We'll find out. I start filming next. I fly out next Monday. I'm doing a new show. It'll be on. I'm not allowed to say really too much about it, but I'm gonna. Hopefully I can give you guys enough so you have a guesstimate of what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's I'm doing a show. I'm flying to Texas.
Okay.
And I'll be training for a couple weeks. And then...
Oh, no.
And then I'm going to be in Nashville, and I'm actually going to be participating. All right, and a totally unrelated thing. I hear in Nashville they're having a bull riding the big all-star weekend.
Uh-huh.
Something totally unrelated to what I was talking about earlier, and I think I'm going to be there with my good friends Vanilla Ice and Leif Garrett and C. Thomas Howe and Nitro from American Gladiators. Mm-hmm. And this guy Josh from the UFC, but something totally unrelated to this television show that I'm doing.
So you're just going to be hanging out there, that's all.
How's that? You like that?
That was good.
Is that good?
That was very PC of you, Johnny. Thank you.
I do it again.
Have you been hanging out with Shark Boy lately?
No, I talked to Shark. Shark Boy. Shark Boy sounds like he's doing really good these days. So we talked. We talked for a couple of hours last week. So
yeah, he got a settlement from the movie company, right?
Yes, he did.
For a job cutting his grass or something.
Yeah. Tell Shark to get a hold of us. And I do things for money.
I told Shark I definitely see a trip to LA for the two of us in the very near future. So
tell Shark Boy that he owes us a lunch.
Well, actually, I remember, and it, with interest, he didn't finish paying his training fees. 1995.
That's why Shark's been kind of quiet lately, because now he's got some money, and here comes everybody from his past that he owes $30 to, and they're like, well, considering the interest from the last 5-10 years.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why he calls me. I'm the only one with money.
The main ingredient in the chat room, he has a question for you. He says, if you were in WWE, where would you like to be, and what would you like to be doing?
Well, I don't know if you guys read it in JR's barbecue blog, but I ran into to Jim Ross. I was actually flying out to Vegas for an appearance at Tangerine, a club in Vegas, and had a layover in Phoenix. So I talked to him, talked to JR for about an hour, and he had recognized me. Asked me about, you know, what I had done in TNA and stuff, and, you know, what what I'd like to do in the future. And I was just like, you know, my schedule, you know, coming up, you know, I've got to film a show. I'm doing an indie film in July. I have to do the upfronts in New York. I'm doing a reality TV convention in at the end of June, a Survivor convention at the end of July. It's like, and then, you know, there's, I keep hearing the rumors over and over again. They're doing, there's a possibility of Survivor All-Star 2 will be filming in September. I was like, so with that schedule in mind, I was like, you know, I'd like, you know, I could see myself, you know, if I would be asked, I'd love to come into WWE. I'd love to be a manager, and I'd love to just torment someone for as long as possible before I leave to, if I were to be asked for All-Star 2, mm-hmm. and then, you know, take the big bump after there's, you know, some time invested. And then, you know, go and do that and then come back afterwards and say, hey, not only did I do great on this show, I'm still here to make your life a living hell.
Right.
And, you know, have a nice long program and be the next, you know, Jimmy Hart, the next Bobby Heenan, you know, the next Jim Cornette.
So. I was thinking more that this would pose a problem. Since the boss himself is a genetic jackhammer, that to have two in the same company might be two jackhammers too many.
I think he's safe.
So it's like, so Johnny, how many paternity suits do you think might be coming up in the next few years? You know, that kind of thing.
I never returned to Duluth, Minnesota, Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Boise, Idaho.
and the entire state of Idaho.
See, this is where Doc once uses you as a lifestyle, you know, hero.
No, I just think I live vicariously through Johnny Fairplay's antics.
The problem is Doc's not looking to get anybody pregnant. He's just looking to get sex.
I've had a lot. I'm almost retired.
Now, you were talking about Shark Boy earlier and how you guys are friends. You actually wrestled Shark Boy once as Evil Shark Boy.
No, I did not. I managed Evil Shark Boy.
You managed Evil Shark Boy. Okay.
And I cost Shark Boy the victory. And so, storyline wise, I am a co-owner of Buckeye Pro Wrestling.
Sweet.
So, and I guess.
What's the difference between Shark Boy and Evil Shark Boy?
One has a black mask and is not as toned and muscularly developed as Shark Boy.
Okay.
or at least he would have me believe.
That would make you evil, yes.
Yeah,
I was going to say,
exactly.
What Shark Boy, when you start talking about muscle and tone, which Shark Boy are you talking about?
I might have confused the two.
Oh, geez. No,
I think one has a tattoo, one doesn't. That's it.
Yeah. So I know you get a lot of questions about Survivor, of course, and this seems to be like your claim to fame, at least at the beginning wise, that you had went on the show and you didn't want to be voted off of the next show. You were afraid that you were next. So you had this thing where where everyone was told that your grandmother died. And you had your friend go along with this. Was this something that you had conspired with your friend to say before you even left to go film Survivor?
Yeah, I had it planned a month before I left. And it wasn't really to keep me in the game either. That's a lot of people think, you know, I use that to stay in the game. Like, I when I did Survivor, I never went to play the game. I went to create the character Johnny Fairplay, have Johnny Fairplay be the greatest bad guy in the history of not only reality television, but television in general.
Ah, okay.
I wanted to keep that character on television as long as possible, and I wanted to have creative control over that character. So, I mean, I looked at it as more of a wrestling storyline that I was trying to prolong for as long as possible. So, you know, like when I made it 39 days, I'm like, great, I'm on every show, I win.
Right.
I'm going to tell you guys a quick story, and the whole grandmother dying is not original. When I was running the tours... WCW, Georgia, WCW in 82 and 83, Ohio, West Virginia, and Michigan. We had run Cincinnati. We'd run down a riverfront, and so I just stayed out here at the house. I forget where we're going the next day. Anyway, this was my dad wakes me up like at 3:30 in the morning. He said, "You're needed on the phone." I said, "Oh, what?" And I'm thinking, okay, somebody's got locked up in a bar fight or something. I got to go bail him out. They said, he said, it's Buzz Sawyer. I'm thinking, oh, my God, Buzz has got locked up somewhere, you know. So anyway, I get on the phone with Buzz. "Les, I need to get with you and get some money, and I've got to catch a plane home. I'm trying to clear the cobwebs. Buzz, what seems to be the problem? Well, my grandmother's passed." I said, "Oh, geez." Well, I won't tell you what I said. not on the show, anyway. And I said, "Buzz, she did this 3 months ago." he was just looking to get off the road, you know. I don't know what it was. Something he decided he needed to go home and get crazier than he was on the road.
He forgot that he had told you this already?
Huh?
He forgot
he
used that?
Yeah. Well, I think he probably had one or two adult beverages.
Right.
And God knows what else at this point in time. And
You should have told him the Undertaker had his money. Just stop by and pick it up.
So anyway, that was the grandmother passed away story of from
1992. Yeah, all my material is recycled. I mean, the biggest heat I got on Survivor was I did a whole anti women rant, and I came out there. I was like, there's no, you know, the last five were me and four girls. I was like, you know, unless it's scrubbing potatoes or unless it's peeling potatoes or scrubbing the floor, you know, women are inferior to men, blah blah blah, and there's no way they can beat me unless it's a getting pregnant contest. All that was line for line Andy Kaufman.
Mm. Yeah, I guess it was. Was it? I knew that sounded familiar while you were saying it. I'm like, who knows that? It was a wrestler.
Yeah.
And it was Andy Kaufman.
So, and that was the great thing about it is, like, you know, I upset most of America because they're just like, you know, how could this kid say that? You know, who lives with these views? But the great thing about it is, you know, as most of America is upset, the smart people, you know, producers and directors and casting agents, they're just like, did that kid just do Andy Kaufman? Get his number.
Right.
You know, Doc, as I hate to cut back on your idol worship.
Yes.
We've run out of time.
Yes, we have. Unfortunately. Johnny, I want to thank you for being on, though.
Hey, thank you.
We'll be looking for you on our televisions, of course.
Johnny, keep us posted on your goings and comings and how many children you have as of last count. And
We don't mention that. actually, for all the people that want to catch up with what I'm doing, feel free to check out my MySpace page. It's myspace.com/DQFairplay, DQ as in disqualification. So you can get T-shirts there, I guess. I don't know.
You can get stuff there. You don't know what it is.
You can get my real email address and send me dirty pictures. There you go.
Sweet. Johnny Fairplay, guys, on Wrestling Weekly. We're gonna get out of here, guys. Enjoy ECW. We'll be back with you next week. Keep on checking out WrestlingWeekly.com for future guest information. Les, it's time to say goodnight, my friend.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, John.
Good night.